Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
How much fishing is too much? 10 days in a row? 20? How about fishing in 50 states in 50 days? Only a Game senior producer Gary Wallach, who probably thinks that's a dandy idea, has our story.
I'm 37 fish up on Taylor as of this morning, and he is vowing that by state number 50, he's going to catch me. So
I definitely will. There's no doubt in my mind I'm going to catch him.
On a slightly overcast Wednesday morning, red-tailed hawks ride thermals over the Pioneer Valley, while kingfishers and swallows dip and dive in the cooler air just above a riffled stretch of the Deerfield River in Florida, Massachusetts. Looking a bit anxious and more than a little tired, Jeff and Taylor Turner grab their spinning rods and fish from the bank while their guide for the day readies a raft. Taylor especially can't wait to have at the Deerfield's rumored trout.
Got one.
You got one on the first cast?
This is the second cast. It's good enough, though.
Perhaps we'll just stand here all day and you guys can catch trout in this pool.
Jim Dowd, a professional guide representing local outfitter Zor Outdoor, has donated his services in support of the Turner's quest. Dowd has guided on the Deerfield for over 30 years, but even he gets a little starry-eyed when contemplating the scope of Jeff and Taylor's 50-day undertaking.
Frankly, I'm envious. I think it's a marvelous idea, and I think these fellows are to be congratulated for coming up with it and planning it so well, and I'm really pleased and honored to be a small part of it.
After a few more minutes of fidgeting and preparation, the guide and his two anglers shove off.
Okay, we're good to go.
At the end of a 3.5-hour float over the river's dark pools and whitewater, the Turners and their guide pull the raft up on a shady bank, where Jeff offers his assessment of the day's fishing.
I think it was really good. I mean, we caught 18 trout, and we caught rainbows, we caught browns, wild ones, stocked ones. Caught one brook trout. Some of them were big fish. So from an East Coast trout fishery, I think this is world class.
What led you to decide that fishing 50 states in 50 days would be a good idea?
For me, it's more of a philosophical thing. I read this book by John Eldridge called Wild at Heart about 8 years ago, and he has this quote from that book, and he says, "Deep in his heart, every man longs for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue." And so we as men, I think, throughout our lives, start to lose passion. We start to lose focus on what really would be an incredible adventure for us. Our careers get in our way of doing things like this, and I think I just threw the question out to Taylor last June, and I said, what would you think if we fished all 50 states or something like that?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to turn down, huh, Taylor?
Yeah, at the time I thought it was a pretty good idea, but I'm not sure if I really wanted to be in an RV for that long. Probably like 2 weeks would have been a nice time, but it's been a lot of fun. We've done a lot of cool stuff, got a lot of good fish.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people think we're on a 50-day vacation. And in some respects, it might be kind of like that. In more ways than one, it's work. It's a lot of long hours and windshield time and some boredom. You know, you're doing the same thing over and over. But what's really neat about fishing 50 states in 50 days is there's novelty every single day, and there's something new to explore that we've never seen before. And even the windshield time has been good from those perspectives. We've seen just amazing sights and that we never would have seen before together.
You say that one of your goals is to encourage fathers and sons to rebuild their fractured relationships. In what specific ways do you feel that the father-son relationship is fractured?
We tend not to make ourselves available anymore for our children. We make ourselves available 24/7 for our employer. We always keep our BlackBerries on. That thing is always ready to go off at a moment's notice. And I think because of that, we're not purposeful in our thinking about doing things of interest, building relationships. So the key in life, I think, with our children is to try to get beyond how's the weather. You know, how often do you have that conversation at home with your children where you say, well, how was your day? Fine. Anything new happen? No. What's going on? Nothing. And so my feeling about this trip and that we are giving ourselves an opportunity to have 50 days of beyond the weather experiences that will give us something to go back to for the rest of our lives.
You've posted videos at each stop along the way, and you've invited people to email you. Have you heard from people as you've toured the country? And what are they saying about your trip?
We get like 50 emails a day probably. They're usually very positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really amazing. It's not just fathers talking about memories of their own parents or memories of their children, but it's even women and ladies in their 40s and 50s and 60s who reminisce about the good times that they had with their father when they were young girls. So it cuts across gender. This is just a father and son thing, which is really cool.
How were you able to finance this trip?
Well, in the final analysis, the cost of this trip is equivalent to probably a good bass boat. Lots of people don't have any trouble buying a new bass boat.
Which costs how much, by the way?
Well, it might cost $25,000, $30,000. So what's it worth to have an experience with your son for 50 days, you know, the summer before he goes off to college that you will never forget? I mean, you could go off and spend that money on a new car or a bass boat and not have a fraction of those memories.
On your website, you also mentioned that Taylor's going to college in the fall was one of the reasons why you've arranged this extraordinary trip. Once he's away, will you have a hard time dealing with that? Will you have a hard time fishing by yourself?
Well, when I planned this trip, I really felt like if I waited until next year, chances of me kind of cornering him would be, you know, almost impossible. So I was really purposeful, I guess, in thinking that this summer was really the last one where time wasn't our enemy, and I felt like we could do that. And hopefully he can appreciate some of it now, and I think when he gets older, he'll appreciate more of it then. But
will you, Taylor? Will you appreciate it down the road?
Yeah, I'd appreciate it quite a bit right now, but I think when I look back on it in the future, it'll mean a lot more to me.
But once you're at college, will it be hard for you to start that stage of your life knowing it's not going to be as easy to get out on the water with your dad as it once was?
He may never want to go out on the water again.
Yeah, this is quite a bit of fishing. I might just skip about 5 years.
I don't believe
that. Until I get out of college.
As father and son laugh off Taylor's half-serious declaration, Jim Dowd nods and good-naturedly states his disbelief. He's guided other fathers and sons, and he knows that fishing is one opportunity among the many for them to reconnect. Maybe Dowd and those who have watched the Turners' ambitious and slightly crazy odyssey find it just a little easier to think of that prospect as real and attainable. For Only a Game, I'm Gary Wallach.
Gary Wallach's story about how a father and son managed to tolerate each other during an extraordinarily long fishing trip aired in August of 2009. It will not be featured on this week's program because of a contractual ban on airing a fishing story more than once every 2 years, but we will reprise some of our other favorite summer stories. Recall, if you will, our account of the most successful charity ride ever established. Karen Given has the story about the Pan Mass Challenge. Or consider the charity evident when the AAA Pawtucket Red Sox invited me to toss out the first pitch. Or think on the Foro Italico, the athletic venue in Rome, wherein the evidence of Benito Mussolini's architectural taste is still apparent. And if that sounds too solemn, listen anyway, because we'll have the story of the annual Big Lebowski Festival, an eccentric event commemorating a very odd movie based at least a little bit on bowling, which is kind of a weird sport. So join us, and remember, you can listen to the program anytime you like at onlyagame.org.